Before we open God's word this morning, let's turn to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is with much thankfulness in our hearts and in our minds that we do come before thee in this morning, in this blessed new day that thou hast given unto us to set aside for thy worship. And Father, we pray asking that thou would be in our midst, be in our thoughts, dear Father, as well, that thou would help us to dedicate this day fully unto thee and help us, dear Father, to focus on thy word and to learn from it, dear Father, that we would better ourselves, better our lives, that we would live more faithfully unto thee each and every day as a result of having been here in thy house, dear Father. Be thou with us in our fellowship, that we would encourage one another and strengthen one another throughout this day. For we do pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. For this morning hour's reading, I'd like to turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, and read chapter number 8, the entire chapter. Romans 8.
Bratje naše, da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz poslanice apostola Pavla Rimljanima, 8. glava. Rimljanima, 8. glava.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, or the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless you. I believe we all know the story of Abraham, his life, and how faithful he was, how much he believed in God's promises to him. He was so faithful that he was even willing to offer his own son as a sacrifice to God. We know God stopped him before he did it, but he was willing. He was faithful. He was faithful to God. He believed that God's way was the right way, was a pure way, a holy way. And because of his faithfulness, he is called the father of faith. And God promised, because of this faith, God promised Abraham many things. He promised him that he would receive much land, that he would have offspring, a large amount of offspring, innumerable, as the stars in the sky. And he also promised that in this offspring that Abraham had, that the whole world, all the nations of the world would be blessed. All the nations of the earth would be blessed through the offspring of Abraham. And Jesus Christ is the perfect fulfillment or the heir of all the promises that God gave to Abraham. He is the heir. We all know what an heir is. It's someone who receives either a position or possessions from somebody else. Jesus Christ is the heir of all God's promises to both Abraham and the children of Israel together. But not only this, the Bible describes Jesus as being the heir of all things. And we read that in the book of Hebrews, in the first chapter, where it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God hath given unto his Son all things because of who his Son is. Just as God promised many things to Abraham because of Abraham's faithfulness, so God has given all things to his Son because of his Son's ultimate faithfulness, his obedience. And God the Father has given his Son a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And read that in Hebrews 1, verse 8, where it says, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So the Father is calling his Son God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And it says, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He has given a position to Jesus Christ that is above anything and anyone else because of, again, who Jesus Christ is and his ultimate obedience to the Father's will, to the Father's word. And this should not come as a surprise to us. We all know Jesus and his power and his glory and his might. So to think that he is the heir of all things should really not be surprising to us, and I don't believe that it is. But what is amazing, what is incredible, is that God promises us these same things. He promises that we will also be heirs of all things if we are in Christ. It's a miracle that we ourselves, but weak human beings who fail, who fall, we can be heirs of all things with Jesus Christ. And that is what we read in this chapter of Romans 8, where it begins in verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So if we are led by the Spirit, we are sons of God, and we are adopted by God, it's saying. We are his children. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So if we are the children of God, then that means we are his heirs. God, just as God has given unto his Son all things, he has given us, his believers, all things. What a beautiful promise that we have, heirs, being heirs of all things with Christ. But that does not, it is not left without a condition. We are the heirs of his promise. It says, if so be that we suffer with him. It's only if we suffer with Jesus Christ that we will be given all things. We will live and reign with him in heaven, if we suffer with him. And that's the key. He is not simply promising us that we are heirs with Christ because we are humans. No, he is offering us to be heirs with him if we suffer with him, if we give him glory through the way we live our lives, if we are led by the Spirit, as this chapter that we read is describing. It's describing a life that is led not by the flesh, not by our own thoughts, but it's led by the Spirit. When we are led by the Spirit, then we can do those things that God desires of us. Only when we are led by the Spirit. And God's word speaks much of suffering, how we can suffer with him. When Apostle Paul, or Saul, was converted, God did not promise unto him an easy path, an easy walk. But God said, "I will show unto Paul how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." That's the path of Christ, is a path of suffering, a path of self-denial, taking our cross, dying to ourselves and living for him. That's the path that God would have us to walk if we are to be these heirs with him. And a similar theme is repeated in Galatians. Where it says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are given those promises that Abraham has if we are in Christ. And that's what it says in Galatians 3:29 as well. "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So when God was telling Abraham that he would have much offspring, that in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, that promise was not only given to Abraham, but that's given to us as well. We, in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. Jesus Christ is the offspring of Abraham by which the whole world can be blessed. And we ourselves, not being Jewish, we being Gentiles, we can also be blessed with faithful Abraham. But again, if, it says, if ye be Christ's. There's a condition there. In Romans 8 that we read, the condition is that we suffer with him. And in Galatians 3:29, the condition that we are heirs is that if we be Christ's. But that's one and the same thing. Even though it's worded differently, the condition is the same. We cannot be Christ's unless we suffer with him, unless we deny ourselves. That's the condition for us to be those heirs with God, with Jesus Christ himself. And that's what Romans 8 describes very much, how God has given unto us all things. Where it says in Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God has proven his love for us in that he sent his own son to die. He sent his own son to this world to be mocked, to be crucified on a cross. Knowing God the Father, knowing how great, how holy his son was, he didn't spare him, but he sent him to die for us. So knowing how great the Father's love is for us, how shall he not also give us all things if we are faithful unto him? As it says in the verse previous to that, if God be for us, who can be against us? And in the closing of this chapter, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Any distress, any distractions, any perils that come our way, nothing can separate us from that love of Christ. That's a promise that God has given to us. As ungodly a direction that the world is taking, that cannot separate us from the love of Christ. That's a promise of God. But we must walk according to the Spirit to receive these promises, because, as we read, to be carnally minded is death. To think carnally, to think only about the things that I want for my flesh, that leads to death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We know that the way of Jesus Christ, as we've already spoken, is a way of self-denial. It's a way of taking up our cross and following him. But we cannot do that by ourselves. It is not possible for us to live a perfectly faithful life without his help, without his intercession for us. Many religions teach that their people, their followers, can be faithful by themselves. That it all depends on what they do. It's their own work. But Christianity does not teach that. The Bible doesn't ever teach us that. The Bible teaches us that we ourselves are hopeless, helpless without him. Yes, we can have that desire to serve him, but we can't do it without him. And that's what is written in Titus. Titus chapter 3, beginning at verse 4, it says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So again, it is not by our own righteousness, not by anything that we have done, but according to his mercy that he has saved us and washed us to be regenerated in the blood of Christ. It says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Again, this idea of being an heir with Jesus Christ. And here the condition is being justified by grace. By God's grace, we are saved. By God's grace, we can live with him. By God's grace, we can walk according to the Spirit. Not by our own works, not by our own strength, for we have none. And we have all experienced that. We have all tried to have victory over sin by ourselves, and it never comes. The victory never comes. And it never can come as long as we are relying on ourselves. So the conditions here that we have read, the conditions to be the heirs of God, although worded differently, they all say the same thing. We have to be in Christ. We have to suffer with him. To not give our flesh what it wants. When we are tempted by the devil to do something, if we listen to him, then we are not heirs with Christ. We cannot be. God's heirs with Jesus Christ, of all things, must be pure in heart, must be holy, must seek after his ways above anything else. We read recently the parable of the owner of the vineyard, this owner of the vineyard who had prepared this vineyard perfectly. He had dug a trench about it. He had made this beautiful vineyard. And he lent this vineyard out to husbandmen. He gave this vineyard to people who would take care of it. And the owner of this vineyard expected fruit in return. We know the story of how the husbandmen, when the owner of the vineyard sent servants to collect this fruit, that the husbandmen did not listen. They did not heed the voice of these servants, but they killed them. And he sent unto them more servants, and they killed them as well, and beat them. And then the owner of the vineyard said, "I will send unto them my son. My son who is the heir of all things, I will send him. They will respect, they will reverence my son." And we know what they did. The servants in the vineyard did the same thing to the son. They said, they recognized, this is the heir. This is the heir of this vineyard. When the master, the owner of the vineyard, dies, the vineyard will be given to his son. He is the heir. And they did not have a spiritual attitude at all, but they said, "Let us kill the heir. Because if we kill the heir, then everything will be ours." But we know the end of that parable and how God promises that these wicked men, even though they slew his son, they did not receive the vineyard. They could not have. And we know that parable speaks to us individually and collectively. It speaks of what we do with his son. We know his son is the heir of all things. The Jewish people at that time thought that if they killed the son, it would be over. If they killed Jesus Christ, then they would continue to be the heirs. They would continue to teach in the temple. They would continue to be the head of the religion if they slew the son. But God will not change his mind of who his heirs will be. Just because the servants of that vineyard slew his son, does not mean that they then inherited that vineyard. Not at all. He then slew those wicked husbandmen. He gave that vineyard unto other servants who would serve him better. God will never and can never change his mind as to whom his heirs will be. His heirs with Jesus Christ will only be those who suffer with him. There is no other path to becoming this heir with Christ. It is a blessed, a beautiful promise, but we can only inherit that promise if we live according to his will. And in Revelation, at the end, it says has a very similar theme, where in Revelation 21, and verse 1, it starts and says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." So how beautiful a promise is being given unto us here. And it says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Again, this is written differently, but has the same meaning. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. But, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So God, again, will not change his mind of who his heirs will be. His heirs, as we read here in Revelation 21, verse 7, his heirs are only those who overcome this world, who overcome the wickedness of this world, who overcome the devil. Only those who overcome will be his heirs. But those who live a dirty, filthy life, who are murderers, who are liars, who are fearful, who are unbelieving, they have no part. They have no part in his kingdom. They have no inheritance. They have no inheritance with Christ. Again, this condition, the condition of our hearts depends on whether we will receive this inheritance of God. If we are faithful unto God, then we are the children of Israel, so to speak. We inherit those promises. God has not sent his son just so that the people of Israel can have salvation. He has sent his son so that the whole world will be blessed, so that the whole world, regardless of when they are born or where they are born or who they are, who their parents were, they can all have life. And that everlasting in Jesus Christ. That is why God sent his son, so that we all can have a hope of eternal life. Again, this inheritance that is uncorruptible. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible describes how we are so weak, and yet we can inherit all things. We are sown, it says, in corruption, but we are raised in incorruption. We are born into sin. We are born into a filthy, evil world. But in Christ, we have a hope. We don't have to remain in that state. We don't have to remain in that sinful state, that state of disobedience. But he is giving us a way through his son and a way through the leading of his Holy Spirit, whereby we can have that inheritance that is uncorruptible. And we should all go home and read Romans 8 again in detail and think how this applies to my life. How can I live and walk according to the Spirit? And this chapter beautifully describes the process that we must take to walk and to live according to the Spirit. Not to be carnally minded, never, because that simply leads to death. But God is promising us all things in Christ. As undeserving as we are, we have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. We have all gone our own way, the Bible says. We have all done our own thing. And yet, because God has loved us so much, he has sent his Son to die for us, that we have this path not to worldly greatness, because our kingdom, if we are in Christ, our kingdom is not of this world. He has never promised us health in this world. He has never promised us wealth. He has never promised us well-being. No, he has promised us life and that everlasting with him. And that is what we read in this chapter of Romans 8, is that all things work together for good to them, to those who are in Christ Jesus. As hard as that may be for us to understand at times, all things will work together for our good. When God chastens us, when he rebukes us, it doesn't feel good. It never feels good to be told that we're doing something wrong, that we're not living according to his will. But God is doing that to us so that we could produce more fruit, so that we could be closer to him. And all things then will work together for good if we take heed, if we listen to those things that God is trying to teach us. If we listen to them with a pure heart, with a heart that seeks him, then we will be given all things. All things will work together for good because we love him. That is a promise. That is a promise from God to us, that we can inherit all things with his Son. And we sing that in the Zion's Harp, beautifully worded. And song number one, hymn number 120, verse 2, it says, Jesus lives. To him the throne over all the world is given. I shall go where he is gone, live and reign with him in heaven. Trust in God's omnipotence. This shall be my confidence. This shall be my confidence. To live and to reign with Jesus Christ in heaven, to trust God's omnipotence, to trust that he knows all things, to trust that he knows the struggles that we have, and to give those struggles to him, and he will help us. This shall be our confidence, that Jesus Christ has a way for us, a way away from this world, a way from this death. This shall be our confidence. May God give unto each and every one of us the will and the desire to truly look into his word, as is written here in Romans 8, and to see how we can be more spiritually minded, walk according to the Spirit, listen to the Spirit's leading in our lives. When God tells us something through the pricking of our conscience, let's not ignore it. Let's not ignore it, but let's take heed to it. Let's listen to it. And God is promising us, if we do that, that we will be given all things. We will inherit all things with Jesus Christ forever. What can be a more beautiful, more perfect promise to us than being, not only being with Christ, but to live and to reign with him forever? May that be our confidence, that God has a plan and a path for us. And may he bless his word in our hearts this morning. Amen.